It was a Saturday night on ice. The Ducks played back-to-backs, and they pick up another 2 points. And all of a sudden, this Pacific Division race is getting a little tighter, folks. It's Saturday, March 18th, 2017, and this is Pucknology After Dark. We are your interactive Sharks post-game show, and we are presented by Audible and Amazon Company. We've partnered with them to provide a free 30-day trial where you can search up to 180,000 audiobooks and get a free book if you continue using the service or not. Log on to audibletrial.com/PAD to sign up today. We are your interactive Sharks post-game show. We do this after every freaking Sharks game, home and away, regular season, playoffs. So subscribe down below or to the side. Visit pucknology.net and make sure you follow us on all of our social media channels, as you can see listed below. But of course, if you want to be part of the show, interact with us. Use the hashtag PucknologyAD on the Twitter machine, or you can join us in the YouTube chat on the page or the app, wherever you're watching or listening to us. You can also follow us on Twitter at PuckDive14, at AJ_Strong, at IReadPucknology. Hi, everyone. It's Eric Curra here. You can follow me on Twitter at PuckDive14, and welcome to this edition of After Dark, joined by my constituents, Mr. AJ Strong.
What it is. Hey, now.
It is what it is, unfortunately. And we also say hello to Ian Reed.
I'm just here so I don't get fined.
That's right. Pay me up. You're fine, buddy. So let's before we go into the bad news, which was the Sharks game, Ian, why don't you tell us the good news about another team in the organization?
Yeah, San Jose Barracuda, big 3-1 victory tonight over the Stockton Heat, clinching the first playoff spot, first team to clinch a playoff spot in the American Hockey League. So, you know, there's going to be good playoffs in San Jose this year. It just may not be the team you want it to be.
Oh, jeez. So, yes, the Barracuda win 3-1 over the Stockton Heat. They clinch a playoff spot. They still have a shot at the Pacific Division title in the AHL. Anything noteworthy in that game before we move on to Sharks and Ducks?
No, it was a good game. I mean, they were good. I thought that Stockton kind of embarrassed them at home the other night, so it was nice for them to go back and return the favor in kind.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm right with you on that.
Don't worry, Mike. There's going to be, like, you know, baseball games that don't matter on to.
That's right, because there's nothing like the early season matchup between the Giants and Marlins and A's and Rays, of course. So let's get going about the Sharks and Ducks tonight. Sharks lose 2-1. Your initial take, Mr. Strong? There you go, folks.
Yeah. I don't want to be that guy, but tonight, and I don't think, and this is, if I remember correctly, I think I've been pretty consistent in not mentioning the refs almost the entire year. Tonight, the refs sucked out loud. Did that make the Sharks lose the game? No, but the refs sucked out loud. The fact that the only way the Sharks could score a goal tonight was because they were given a 5-on-3, that says a lot more. My quick notes that I had, it seemed like Ward got more looks Ward got more shots on goal, it felt like, than he had in the entire month of February. Ward was just all over the place, and it almost feels like him drop in the mitts, like, woke him up or something. So it was nice to see Ward just all over. Jumbo in the third looked like he was ready to take somebody's head off in the corner. I didn't catch who it was versus, but definitely Jumbo looked heated in the last 8 minutes or so. That Hansen injury, I really, I'm sorry, guys. This is, maybe I need to get a smaller drum to sit next to my big power play drum, but maybe a smaller drum to say, you know what? Put Hurdle back on the top fucking line. I know you guys, I know the Sharks just want him to be a center and be damned anything else, but right now, Hurdle showed more chemistry and the top line to me got better looks once Hanson went down and Hurdle was pushed up than they had pretty much had all night. Put Hurdle back on the goddamn top line. Put Hanson on the second line. Drop Marlowe down to center the third if that's, you know, to do something if you're going to shift somebody around. But Jesus Christ, put Hurdle back up there. And for fuck's sakes, can we just shit can Bodker? Just put him in the fourth line or just, I mean, had an awful night tonight per usual. You know, it's the rare night that he plays well and the often night that he plays shitty, at least in my eyes. Twice tonight, I saw him get absolutely fucking pylonned. Just guys whizzing right back at him, right by him because he won't go. He's afraid of contact. Like he just does not look for a hit. Braun also got pylon tonight, whereas late in the third, Donskoy came in with some speed, and as soon as immediately after he crossed the blue line, boom, he was checked. He was popped. And I'm like, where the hell is that from the Sharks? And Bakker's just the last guy you're going to see that. So, yeah, Bakker, seriously, dude, get the fuck out of here, man. Go to Vegas. You're pissing me off just every day. Third line tonight was just a shit show to me. I mean, it was awful. But was that enough? Can I go now?
It went back and everybody.
I'm sorry, man. I haven't gotten it out in a while. Just needed to get it out.
That's what he said.
Put her away.
Ian, your initial thoughts of tonight?
I feel like this game's more frustrating because of the way I think some of this game is that some of the St. Louis stuff is kind of drifted into this game a little bit. I feel like if this game was on its own, like in the middle of a winning streak, or if we had won games, I don't know how. I think we'd still be annoyed with this game. I'm just not sure that we would be like as annoyed as we are today. Like just on even on Twitter, there's the sky's falling a little. I feel like the sky's falling a little more than it should.
Well, I can understand it though a little bit when you consider where the Sharks were at when they started this homestand. It was like a comfortable 9-point lead in the division,
which is
now gone. Yep. And you know, show me a guy in the world who enjoys shrinkage. I'm just saying.
No. I'm not saying we should just completely pat them on the back. I just think that our emotions are.
Welcome to the show.
I get it. I just think that if this game was taken on its own without the shit show against St. Louis on top of it, I don't think this game's as bad as it looked. But yeah, when you have the emotion of the St. Louis game carrying over, I think it looks worse.
And it doesn't help that it's against a divisional foe.
And yeah, right. I mean, look at these were an important 2 points. So obviously, exactly. Not getting these 2 points. Not cool. You know, this is the last time you played the Ducks. This is a time for you to act, you know, absolutely add separation because, and you gave points to the Ducks. And that's, I'm not saying that's not good. Like, that's good that happened. And I think, but I don't think this game, like, this game was nowhere near as bad as the St. Louis game.
Yeah.
Nowhere near.
And I forgot to ask, when we're in times of distress, like now, should I be flying that upside down to signal that?
Yes.
Or no? Oh, okay. I wasn't sure.
Yeah. I would do it.
In the chat, Cody James is mentioning, anyone else feel like the pregame Twitter post by the Sharks was a tad uncalled or too soon? No.
There's
playful banter. You know how they usually do their little puck art before warmups and how they put up the pucks as does it wrote out Ducks suck. I mean, that's been a long time chant. Yes, K-Fox Twitter, that's been a long time chant forever in 3 days with the duck call too. I'm not going to be worried about that. Rob in the chat,
they're just having fun.
Yeah, and the Ducks and Sharks tweeted back and forth and it got mentioned on Bar Down. Rob Humphrey in the
That's
chat
what
saying,
it takes to get that mentioned. Okay,
yes,
go ahead. Sorry.
I'm less concerned about the division than I am about the fact that they can't do anything against playoff teams. Well, they got to get out of their division first.
Right.
Well, if, I mean, just to play devil's advocate on that comment, you know, talking about that they can't do anything against playoff teams, seems like just a week ago they beat the best team in the NHL pretty handedly.
Yeah. No, they made Washington look bad, and they felt bad.
And they felt bad. Well,
you know, but I mean, now all of a sudden it's like, oh shoot, we got a race now. So let's talk about the game. Although I think AJ McCready summed it up pretty well. The Sharks looked flat-footed, and they had mentioned that, you know, during the pregame morning skate, and said that they felt that they had not come out with a full-on effort. And, well, didn't start out too well with Patrick Eves picking up a loose puck and wide open for his 24th, 39 seconds into the game. I was like, oh boy, here we go. And for that matter, the Sharks looked a little lethargic, I think, in that first period until Couture got the power play goal to make it 1-1. And that was a 5-on-3, mind you. Yes, breaking news, the Sharks scored a power play goal tonight.
Oh, breaking news, the tweet. The funny that they mentioned the whole Twitter battle earlier, and it continues. The Anaheim Ducks retweeted on top of the Sharks, "Ducks suck," and put, "When you can talk the talk but can't walk the walk, thanks for the 2 points, San Jose. See you this spring?" Question mark. And, of course, San Jose responds with a screenshot of the current standings. So, they're clearly, they're having a good time with it. So, anybody who thinks it was uncalled for or whatever...
Yeah,
they're having fun. And that's the point.
You know, it's funny because like we get all curmudgeon-y about it, and really, you know, what is considered unfortunately to be one of the best Twitter accounts in the NHL, the Kings, and that's all they do. They talk crap about everyone and say silly things, and everyone thinks it's hilarious. I think the Kings Twitter feed's one of the best in the NHL, and that's what they do.
Not everybody can be as clever as the Dallas Stars Jumbotron. Let's just put it that
way. That's true. That's true. But at the end of the day, I mean, there's so many things to be upset in the world about.
Twitter, right? One of them.
That's just my opinion.
Yeah. But you definitely had a lot of stuff going on in between the goals. You had Corey Perry take a high stick to DeMello, which wasn't called, which I thought was unbelievable. How the heck you missed that?
Well, somebody had pointed out that it came after the whistle had already blown, and that's why they had thought that it wasn't called. Well, I mean, I hear you. I'm just putting it out there as to what one person's kind of point of view on that was. That's all.
Yeah. I mean, you had everything in that period. And, of course, like I said, Couture at the 5-on-3. I started counting a little bit, guys. The two shots that they had going before the Couture goal, they had six passes and four passes in between the shots, and they were 1-for-2 in the faceoff circle there. Kind of an interesting way to look at the power play of sorts and wonder if that's part of their struggle, is maybe getting more clearance and more movement around to cause chaos.
It would certainly help. I mean, it's funny how as the game progressed, the Sharks did look like they were working and trying to move the puck a bit more and try to find better open lanes. But I remember commenting a couple times in the first and second period about the amount of times it seemed like the Sharks, whoever it was on the blue line, I saw Hurdle do it, I saw Burns do it, I saw, you know, numerous guys do it, where they weren't moving early in the game, and they would just shoot it right into an Anaheim Duck foot. And it's like, man, take a couple strides, find some space, get the lane. Even the broadcaster were talking about how the Ducks were just completely boxing them out of the slot, and the Sharks were not going for any penetration there. You know, you got to get Bernier moving, man.
Yeah, he faced
And give it up for Bernier. I mean, the dude,
he faced
I
34
mean,
shots.
yeah, give it up for him. He looked really good. He did have to make some pretty big saves. I don't know that Haley breakaway was one of them, but you know. I'm sorry, I'm not pouring gas on the Haley fire. I'm just, you know, just having a little fun here.
Yeah, no, Haley seemed to be a focal point tonight.
That's
He
stupid. Haley.
was serving a penalty. He got a breakaway. I thought, decent chance. He definitely was in it. He definitely made some scoring chances. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with him. I thought though in that third period though, that embellishment call was a little ticky-tacky.
Well,
Okay,
that
so
goes back to
here's my
what I
thing.
said about the refs earlier, but yeah, go
Right.
ahead.
Here's my thing. I don't understand this. It's either a penalty or it's embellishment. I don't understand how it's both.
Oh, we could be here all night with that. I mean, that's been a debate that for the
Sure.
ages that they keep talking about. Yeah, I completely agree with you that it is either one or the other. And the
It
fact
should
of the
be.
matter is, we've seen it so many times where you see a guy get like just a tapped and it's it's flailing like you have spotters down below with binoculars looking for the sniper. I mean, it's so painfully obvious tonight that yeah, I thought that was a bullshit. That was an embellishment. I mean, I'll be the first, I'll be honest, I did think he embellished it a scotch, because we like to say scotch here. But it was a clear call. I mean, I think most guys would, that would be their reaction in that moment, but whatever. And yes, Cody James in the chat, Brody probably had some sort of commitment with the Oakland Athletics or something tonight.
Yeah, I mean, either that or vacation. Because be real here, we love Brody, but he does A's and Sharks. He really doesn't get much time
Yeah, he
off.
doesn't have much of a life, really. Let's be honest. You know, recently married, and I mean, give the guy a break once in a while.
Yeah.
Couldn't they found somebody else better to cover than Ahmed? No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I'm
Wow.
kidding.
They could have hired us, but they probably could get me out here in time. Second period, Jakob Silfverberg on the breakaway after he blocks a Paul Martin shot, like you were saying earlier, guys, how they were getting pucks to the feet, and definitely that broke down a breakaway. He roofs it top shelf where Mama hides the cookies. That turns out to be the game winner. Sharks definitely had the shot total advantage after out shooting the Ducks 14 to 4 in the third, but nothing was getting past Jonathan Bernier,
Yeah, I mean,
which
after honestly, after Eves scored 40 seconds in, I already felt like, ah, shit, here we go, you know?
same here, which is frustrating indeed. Oh, that's frustrating indeed, because how lethargic they came out. It's like, you guys, we know you're better than this, and with the Ducks playing, you get in that 2009 part where you're like, come on, guys,
Well,
come
see, and that's the
on.
thing. This wasn't a game in November against Columbus. I mean, we're 2 weeks away from the end of the season, just about. And this is the team that is literally nipping at your heels. It's just, I'm just, I don't know. I expected more, but.
Yeah. Ian, what did you think of Joner?
She's fine. Jones isn't the problem.
No, I'm not saying he was.
No, I'm just saying I just think that if Jones gave them every chance to win this game, this isn't on him at all.
Yeah. And I was quite surprised by PDB pulling him with pretty much what, 2:28 left in regulation? I
Yeah, I
mean
was
the
gonna say it was 2.5.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's it's. I feel like The more you're going for the win. You want the 2 points, and you know, so giving yourself an extra man advantage. Not that the man advantage has ever really helped the Sharks this season, but the logic is sound. So I don't get upset about this. Like, I understand, like, you know, when Patrick Waugh was doing like 5 minutes left, but in the last 250, I don't care, honestly. Like, you're going for it, and you're going to give yourself every chance you can. And sometimes it's going to blow up in your face, and sometimes you're going to score, and sometimes it'll just end the way it started. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't know. I felt like we saw a really good flurry with about 6-7 minutes left. Like, you know, just a couple minutes before they decided to pull Jones, we did see a really good push. And the first thing on my mind was, where the hell's this been for the previous 45, 50 minutes, you know? But whatever.
Yeah, and that's what we've seen from the Sharks when they're down, is that, and there's either that they have that big push, just doesn't get done, or worse is that they have the push, and then it's a simple bad goal that makes it a 2-goal deficit. You know, nonetheless, Sharks lose a tough one. And, you know, like we said, that 9-point lead that we had, that we were enjoying against Washington, now all of a sudden becomes a 4-point cushion. And you have everybody else come right up at you. Do you expect any changes? And also, PDB mentioned post-game that he has no update on Yannick Hansen at the moment. So,
well, that'd be a disaster.
I think you see something, just because two losses in a row. I think DeBoer is going to do something, whether it's, you know, sit Haley and bring in Carpi, or, I mean, LeBanc. Who's up right now? But I mean,
Carpi obviously is up.
Yeah, and Carlson is still injured, as far as we know.
As far as we know.
Yeah, so, I mean, whether it's LeBanc, whether it's Carpi, whoever it is, it wouldn't surprise me to see somebody new in the lineup against
Dallas. Well, that's part of the problem, right? Like, I know earlier you were on Hurdle on the third line, but when Hurdle was on the third line with Carlson and Donskoy, that line was awesome sauce.
It was a good line, and there was a couple times where it would seem to be like the only line that might have shown up that night, but I don't know. My point is that the top line just seems like it's been somewhat inconsistent this year. And granted, that's because, I think for a little bit, is because Thornton and Pavs have played with Hurdle and Marlowe and Hansen and Carlson. And I think Donskoy got 5 seconds up there at one point. It's Bodker. I mean, seems like everybody's gotten a chance up there. And Marlowe, it seemed like, had the longest stretch.
That's been the problem. Everyone, you know, a couple of guys, like, you know, Hurdle has had some success up there. Marlowe's had some success up there, but they were both flash in the pan successes, which I just, you know, I understand how people will put Hurdle back up there, but it's not like, you know, if that was working all year, then that's where Hurdle would be now.
See, I don't think so, because the Sharks said early on this year, and DeBoer was quoted as like, no, we want Hurdle at that center position. That's where we're projecting him. So I just really wish they'd look, you want to make him a center, fine, make him a center, whatever. But I don't know. I've just seen him have so much more success at the winger spot with the Joes. But hey, run your team the way you're going to keep doing whatever it is you're doing.
Yeah, I that's fair, and we have seen him have a lot of success up there, but this year no one's having success up there, and that's the problem.
I blame Jumbo's beard. He shaves that and everything changes.
Yeah, probably. And then Burns, too. I mean, look at Burns. Burns has been off the score sheet for a while now.
Yeah, speaking of that, creeping up, now Carlson creeping up on him, and all of a sudden the Norris isn't like that, you know, guaranteed shot now.
Forget the I mean, it's gotten to the point where, like, the whole heart talk around Burns has completely died. And now you've got Carlson creeping up on him for the Norris.
Yep. And you know, the second that those East Coast bias writers will love to jump all over that. So,
well, I mean, look at, I mean, you can say that, and I'm not going to argue that, but I think if you play devil's advocate, though, where the hell are the Senators without Erik Karlsson?
Precisely.
You know, and, but you can say that for the Sharks this year. Where the hell are the Sharks without Burns?
No, I'm just saying, like, you gotta, I mean, you have to be, I think it's a fair, valid thing for both players, though. I think to completely just be like, no, you know, I mean, yes, it sucks that Carlson's kind of really heated up now, and of course that's when it's going to be fresher in the voters' minds, but I don't think that Karlsson getting into the conversation is necessarily wrong, is what I'm trying to say.
No, absolutely not. But when do you think we get to the point where they say, you know, to hell with it, and they start to say, okay, we're going to hand out a Norris for the East and a Norris for the West?
Never.
Just to placate people, just to be able to hand out more awards.
Yeah, no, and look at, I still think it's Burns' trophy to lose, just going into the chat there for Christine. I just think that this idea that Erik Karlsson could get votes, I don't think is, you can say East Coast bias, but I think he's going to earn those votes that he gets. That's all I'm saying.
And Rob kind of echoing something that the Sharks kind of have been doing already so far. Do you maybe try swapping Burns and Dylan for a game to provide a spark?
No,
No. But I mean, they have tinkered with the defense units on an off, especially on this homestand.
What do you mean swapping them? I mean, Burns is playing 25 minutes. Dylan's playing like 12. I mean, what are we doing here?
I think with the units, like, I although I can't see.
Why would
Dylan's
you do
left,
that to DeMello? Why would you do that to DeMello?
Nice. Nick asking if they moved Hurdle to the first line, who would be the four centers? So I wouldn't. So obviously it would be Thornton, Couture, and what I would do is move Hansen from the first line down to the second line, move Marlowe from the second line to center the third line, and you keep Cobra at the fourth line.
Right. Yeah. So, no, that's, if you're going to move Hurdle, that's the only option you got. I do not want to see Tierney move up and then Haley be the consistent for all the flack that Haley takes. I don't want him to be the fourth line center.
No, not at all. And of course, yeah, that wouldn't be it. But I mean, you know, Marlowe skating, I mean, Marlowe, for having 37-year-old legs, they're still pretty fast. He's probably still one of the faster guys on the team. And you put him, perhaps, with Bakker and Donskoy, who both are pretty speedy guys. I mean, that's a pretty nice, you know, that's a lot of speed to contend with for a third line.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely.
Do I swap Thornton and Couture? No. I mean, look at, yeah, sure. I would take a wrecking ball to so many things on the Sharks right now, but it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Like, I would take a wrecking ball to the power play and just rebuild it from scratch. I might, you know, just completely blow up the lines just to see what happens, but that's not how hockey teams are run. Especially not the end of March.
Yeah.
Like, come on. It is, the lines are what they are. I mean, we can sit here and we can wank about all the lines for, you know, hours, but the end of the day, it's kind of like this whole Haley nonsense. It's not going to change. Once you come to a Zen acceptance, well, then you'll be in a happier place.
And thank you, Laurel.
The Grand Poobah has checked in. Daryl Martin, he tweeted to us, Jones is not the problem. We never said it was. It's the team. Lazy start, just not finishing plays.
Who the fuck is Daryl Martin? I never see him in the chat.
The man, the myth, the legend behind our usually the man, the myth, the legend behind our Twitter machine.
Take the shot.
So with that, let's go around the league, because these scores are, you know, we're starting to get to the scoreboard watching portion of the season now.
Are you trying to tell me that the season is almost ready to end today?
almost.
Screen here, just like in.
Edmonton shuts out Vancouver 2-0. You had the classic rivalry, asking where the heck did that classic rivalry go, where Detroit versus Colorado. Detroit wins 5-1. So they're taking
a little terror right now.
So they're making their last ditch effort to avoid being the cellar dweller. Although I'm pretty sure we're getting close to where I think Colorado's already locked up the number one pick.
Yeah, you can't.
Well, they've locked up the best odds of the number one pick.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Thank you for correcting me, guys.
Yeah, no one is going to be able to tank to try to get better odds at this point.
Yes. In Brooklyn, Cam Atkinson with the game winner puts the Columbus Neon Buggers over the Brooklyn Gordon's Fishermen 3-2 in overtime. The Wild are struggling now. They lost again, this time to the Rangers at home 3-2.
Yeah, the Rangers, if I remember, I was just gonna say that the Rangers, like, everyone's like, oh, there's a wild card team, but they have 90 something points. Like, they're a wild card team in name only. They're good. Like, the Rangers are a playoff contender. Like a cup.
If the Rangers played in the Atlantic, they'd be getting a lot more pub.
Yeah.
And they would be the division leader.
Yeah.
And speaking of the division leader in the Atlantic, Montreal wins in a shootout 4-3 over Ottawa, keeping them at bay, because Ottawa's been getting close to them. They currently sit 2 points behind Montreal after tonight for the top spot in the Atlantic. In Toronto, the Blackhawks beat the St. Pat's.
I saw that.
Sometimes mostly known as the Maple Leafs, 2-1.
Also,
the uniforms, not bad. Numbers,
Oh, Mike. Dude, feel good all you want, dude. Two games against Dallas this week, brother. That's all I'm saying. And the Sharks.
It's a trap.
When was the last time the Sharks, like, lost three games in a row? Like, I mean, tonight was the first time they had lost two in a row at home since, you know, November 3rd and 5th. So keep rubbing that rabbit's foot, Mike.
Yeah. Washington becomes the first team to clinch a playoff spot with a 5-3 win.
Good for them.
A 5-3 win over the Tampa Bay Lightning, which kind of hurts Tampa's chances a bit to get back into the race. They're still 2 points out of the playoff spot.
I do believe we have an Oilers fan in the chat asking us if we like Oilers.
We like their color. We like their TV color commentator.
Yeah, we really like him. And we used to have a crush on their current head coach. But you know, McDavid's kind of fun to watch. But
is he ever fun to watch? There's lots of guys on there there's lots of young Oilers that I like. I really like watching McDavid. I love Leon Draisaitl.
Draisaitl's awesome.
Well, and like I said, it's easy to put a pretty decent team together when you have the number one pick 18 out of the last 20 years.
But yeah, they're looking really promising, and I'll be honest, guys, I am a little concerned come playoff time. Cam Talbot with another shutout tonight, and his 36th win, I think it tied Salo for the second most in Oilers franchise history, now only behind Grant Fuhr.
Did you hear Eddie Lack lacked that bitch?
He lacked that bitch. Drew Weber comes back to technology for a little bit, and look at it. This is Hurricanes do. They take care of the Nashville Predators 4-2. Nashville on a decline, and with the 3-0 win by the Blues over the Desert Dogs.
Excuse me.
You're welcome. They flip-flop in the standings, and with that, let's go to the standings right now, as they've become quite interesting. We'll start off with the Pacific Division first. Sharks are at 91 points. And pretty much everybody but LA has 11 games left. But the Ducks are now within 4 at 87. The Oilers win, leapfrogs them back into the number 3 spot at 85.
Calgary, you're killing me, Smalls.
Calgary is idle. They are at 84.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to interject. And I think Calgary's schedule really doesn't do them much favors in the last final couple of weeks.
No, and if you're an LA Kings fan, that's your matchup with Calgary, which will be quite interesting down the road. The Desert Dogs are virtually eliminated from the race. Vancouver is right behind with them at 65. They've lost six in a row now, and LA at 75.
So here's...
I can't wait till LA is out of this. But Calgary in the their next seven games, LA,
yeah, I was looking at that.
Will be tough. Then at the Capitals, at the Predators, at the Blues. These are not give me games. Until you look at the 27th when they play Colorado, and then the LA Kings, and then the Sharks. So I mean, they're facing. If you look at it, six of their next seven games are against teams that are either in a playoff spot pretty firmly or fighting for one in LA. So those Calgary could really do some damage to LA here in the next, you know, few days.
And then their last game of the season, or at least our last game of the season, is hosting Calgary as well a week later. So
yeah.
Yep. And with that, do we go to the Western Conference playoff race? So in the Pacific, you have Sharks, Ducks, Oilers. In the Central, the loss by Minnesota combined with the win by the Blackhawks. Now all of a sudden, the Hawks are up five in that division. The win for St. Louis puts them over mathematically on into the third spot. So that would be the matchup with that. And then
Nashville has a game. But Nashville has a game in hand, though, yes?
Correct.
Yeah.
LA is at 75. Winnipeg is hanging by a thread. Dallas, Vancouver, Arizona, Desert Dogs are just about finished. So, as we like to say, if the playoffs started today in the West, you would have San Jose, Calgary, Anaheim, Edmonton, Chicago, Nashville, Minnesota, St. Louis.
You know, Chicago, Nashville would actually be really good.
St. Louis, too, has like a pretty easy schedule. Just since we were talking about schedules, I brought up the Ducks schedule, and their next games aren't that, I don't think they have it too rough. They've got Edmonton, which will be a game. And they get three nights off before they play the Oilers. Then they are off a night. Then they play the Jets. Then they play the Rangers, Vancouver, Winnipeg. I mean, that's not a terrible schedule for them.
No. Like I said, I think if you look at the teams underneath the Sharks, Anaheim, Edmonton, Calgary, Nashville, I guess you can throw in L.A. Calgary definitely following the path of most resistance, it feels like, when it comes to scheduling.
Speaking of your Calgary Flames, Kevin Lacey in the chat, Elliott has only given up more than two goals since February 5th and is 11-0-1 since then.
Yeah, where the hell did he come from, man? Remember how much we were bagging on him in the first half of the season, talking about...
We're Slushy now. The Slushy going away, and after talking shit at me all season with Elliot, and where is he now?
And who was the backup who had seemingly taken Elliot's job?
Chad Johnson.
Yeah. Chad Johnson was this, like, monster there, and now Elliot just... I guess you should feel pretty refreshed when you've had that much time off, Mr. Elliott. Right. But holy crap, is he? Talk about coming on at the right time.
Yeah. So I guess Elliott would be the starter for the playoffs for Calgary.
Absolutely. But boy, don't think he doesn't have nightmares about his play last year versus the Sharks.
Elliott. So the Sharks finished this homestand at 3-3?
No update on Hanson, by the way.
No update still? All right.
No, not that Peter DeBoer didn't say anything, so.
Yeah. Yeah. So the Sharks go on the weirdest four-game road trip I've seen. get ready, folks, because, there's always one weird road trip that the Sharks have each year. So they play Dallas in Dallas on Monday. The next night, they travel up to Minnesota, and then they get 2 days off before they play at Dallas again on Friday, and then the next night, they have to play Nashville.
I'm sorry. You got, I mean, like, there was, it, I just, I don't have Dallas's schedule in front of me or Minnesota's, but it just makes me wonder how the hell that you couldn't figure out a way to play Dallas twice in their barn, do back-to-backs at home. I don't care, but to make them needlessly fly, you know, 800 miles north or whatever, and then just to turn around and fly right back. Ugh. And especially with 2 days off in between, to play back-to-backs, have 2 days off, and then back-to-backs.
What's funny for Dallas this week, so they play the Sharks on Monday, they have 2 days off, then they're at Chicago on Thursday, and then they play the Sharks again on Friday.
So in other words, so you totally could have done back-to-backs in Dallas, Monday, Tuesday, then they both have a day off Wednesday, and then Dallas goes to play Chicago, and the Sharks go to play Minnesota.
Or, totally or could heck, have done that. Or heck, could have had the Sharks play on Wednesday, and then they have that back-to-back at Chicago. Yeah, it makes no sense whatsoever.
Whatever.
It's one of those weird coinky things in the NHL schedule. As for Minnesota, they're pretty jammed. They're at Winnipeg on Sunday, and then us on Tuesday, off day, then home to Philly, and then home to Vancouver. So, okay, I can kind of get that. But the Sharks have that four-game road trip. It's going to be a quite interesting road trip, fellas. You have Dallas, who's out, who's having all kinds of nightmarish goaltending issues that they could have taken care of last summer, but they didn't. And then you have to follow it up by playing two teams you could see down the road in the playoffs in Minnesota and Nashville. What do you think of the upcoming week, Ian?
It is what it is. The schedule is what it is. Look, Minnesota's going to be tough. Nashville's going to be tough, but we should take care of business in these Dallas games. And I still think that they come back. I feel good about the Minnesota game still, even after tonight. I think that the Sharks have something to prove, and they're going to have to come back and show Minnesota that they're, you know, they got to start showing teams that they're legit.
Right. They can't be a push around. AJ, what are you looking forward to on the roadie?
Just beating the hell out of the Stars and getting some free beer. I mean, that's really it's job one.
Right.
Refresh that, AJ.
Oh, okay. For those of you who don't know, we have a running bet going with Mike, and I never know how to pronounce. I don't know if it's Nevis, Neves, Neves. I mean, there's so many different ways you can go with it, but I think we've gone with calling him Nevis in the chat. So he bet Chris and I that if the Sharks only win two road games in the month of March, we have to buy him a playoff ticket. And
what?
Lacey pointing out Neves. Okay, that's what I'm going with. So, yes, Chris and I, that was the whole thing. He's betting me and Chris, if they only win two on the road, Chris and I have to go in and purchase him a playoff ticket. Where this ticket is located was not specified. So if for some reason the Sharks only win two games, welcome to standing room only, motherfucker. yeah, so that's the case. And because he did point out that he said we're talking about how ridiculous playoff tickets can be. And then, of course, he pointed out how much Chris and I could actually probably put away, you know, in a couple hours at IBU. So he's got a good point. So either way, you know, probably $100 or so is getting dropped between. What? Hold on. What's going on here?
This is from Knit Psycho. I just retweeted it. She had to charge all of her devices, so she's watching us on her television.
Oh, you poor woman.
So shout out to her and look at E-Rock and everything on her television. Yeah, back to you, AJ.
Yeah. So anyway, they already have the one road win against the Winnipeg Jets. And we're kind of really hoping that those two games against Dallas next week are really going to kind of put the head on that beer, so to speak. Put the icing on the cake, however you want to call it. But it'd be really nice if the Sharks were able to do it at Dallas and Minnesota, because Lord knows they could. It would be really nice to see them have a strong game versus Minnesota.
Definitely. I like what Kevin Lacey says. Buy him a ticket to Stanley's. Oh, geez. Yeah, it's a huge one. You know, one thing that has come up many a times on my feed is when I post the standings on Twitter, I always mention the magic number, and the magic number is the number of points needed for their highest possible point opponent minus what the Sharks have to clinch either a playoff spot or division. For the playoff spot, right now it's LA is the last team holding out hope. So they have 75 points, so they have 12 games left, which means they have 24 possible points, which means they have, if they win out, they are at 99. Which means the Sharks would have to hit 100 in order to officially clinch a playoff spot. So 100 minus 99, or I'm sorry, 100 minus 91, which is the current Sharks total, means 9. So 9 points is what the Sharks need to clinch their 19th playoff spot in franchise history. For the division, right now that would be Anaheim with 11 games left at 87 points. So if they win out, they would finish at 109. Yes, 109, which means the magic number would be 19. For the Sharks. So they're at 19 currently with 11 left. I wanted to clarify that for everyone counting down at home, and hopefully we'll get to both of those to zero in the very near future. All right. Anything else we can chat about, guys, before we call it a night?
Sharks, if you fucking lose this goddamn division. Oh, if they lose this division, oh my god.
Well, you know what? I will quote the always good quote Dan Boyle. You back into the playoffs, you back out.
Yeah. And it's sad that you know what? 3 or 4 episodes ago, we were talking about like, you know, oh my god, the West. You know, the number one in the West is within. Yeah, it was like top in the West is within striking distance. And a couple of games later, and it's like, you know, to quote the one and only Rocket backhander, "Da fuck, bro." Like,
don't you have that queued up somewhere? Yeah. one thing, and thank you again, Kevin, and thank you for not, you know, calling me out for AHL scoreboard roundup when there were no games played. The Allen Americans, the ECHL affiliate of the Sharks, also clinched their playoff spot tonight. So 2/3 of the Sharks organization are officially punched their playoff ticket.
Are you ready? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
The fuck, bro?
Oh, yes. I think AJ has like a soundboard for Rocket. And Hockey Jerk, right?
No, not really Hockey Jerk, but definitely for Rocket.
If you've missed any of this tonight, along with Pucknologist, is Pucknologist coming out?
Yeah, sorry, man. It was just a really weird week. We actually recorded it last night, but I was so busy today I didn't get a chance to put it together. At some point, I'm going to shit can everything and just say, you know what? I'm not editing things anymore. It just takes too long, and I'm just going to put it out.
All right.
So I hope to have it out by tomorrow evening.
Okay, so be on the lookout for that.
Just in time for the next episode to drop.
Right. And speaking of tomorrow evening, there is the Pucknology Writers Room. And according to one tweet I saw at the end of the game tonight, Zach Devine is very excited that it might actually be a 4-hour episode.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. We got a lot to talk about. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. You know, we're branching out, covering all the hockeys. You know, we got to talk about what's going on in Norway now, because otherwise Mike Ness won't tune in. So we got to get that Norway talk in, and it's going to be good. We're going to talk about a lot of things. I want to talk about a little bit about the whole situation with the Team USA women's hockey team and their boycott of the World Championships that they are hosting. So tune in for some information on that too.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Always my question.
Oh gosh. Tyler Gong asking, is that the soundtrack for the Pucknology After Dark Haunted Maze? I don't know about the Haunted Maze, but I've kind of been pitching for AJ's original goal song to be our theme song. I think so. Anywho, with that, yes, I think
I'd be totally down with that. And I think we all need to pour one out for our buddy tonight who is not with us.
Brody, Brazil.
Bro, if you're watching, bud, I hope you had a good night. All the best to you, bud. With that, we will wrap this up. If you've missed anything tonight, you can check out the replay on YouTube or on Pucknology.net. You can also check out...
Oh, man. Pucknology Romper Edition. And I see Nick, and I see Mike, and I see Rob, and I see Jay Clark.
and I see Laurel. And I see Lacey's turtleneck.
Oh, my there God. You go.
Okay, we're good.
And when I see Lacey, I see him doing this.
Oh my God!
You know what I want? I want a sounder. If anybody has this, I gotta look for this. If you find it on YouTube, I know that there was a point in the last couple of seasons. If you're a San Francisco Giants fan and you were watching the broadcast, at one point John Miller says really fucking funny. He just goes, "Hello, kitty." I want that. I want to get that sounder because that's hysterical.
Well, speaking of that, we'll end the show on this. If you've missed anything tonight, you can check it out the YouTube replay or on Pucknology.net. If you want the audio only version, you can always hit up iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn. So wait a minute. I see iTunes, I see Google Play, I see SoundCloud. Okay, I can't handle that. That's just ridiculous since we're going to go Romper Room Edition.
And, Rob asking, when is the next After Dark? Yeah, probably not till playoffs, man. We're all a little burnt. I mean,
yeah, there's a lot of games this month.
Yeah, you don't understand. Yeah, a lot of shows. And right now, the only song I want to hear...
Oh my gosh. All right. I think we've lost our minds. With that, After Dark has been pulled for CUDA highlights. That's right.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Look, we do a lot of shows here, and, you know, we try to do the content that we try to make sure we do the content that actually goes like everywhere.
CUDA highlights was a mid-season replacement for Way Way After Dark.
Right. Yeah, sorry.
That's right.
Chuck Berry's dead? I had no idea. That's how in the loop I am. Rest in peace, Chuck Berry.
Yes. Johnny be dead.
Johnny be dead? Oh my God. All right, Eric, just let's go.
Let's get out of here.
Too soon?
Let's get out of here. Congratulations to the Barracuda and the Allen Americans clinching the playoff spots. Let's go for the triple, boys. And until Monday night, following the Dallas Stars and the Sharks, keep it real, keep it tight, keep it real tight.